D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Really, Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you at Bridgestone Arena. Our guest on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee, was at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday for the Predators' home opener. Clark, I thought you waved that towel quite expertly. I give you an A-plus for your towel-waving skills.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I felt like had I waved it a little bit better, we would have gotten off the post at the end, and those pucks would have gone to net. So I got to take responsibility over my part in that. And if given the chance again, I'll make sure I wave those pucks in at the end.
We have every bit of confidence in you to do that. Now, Clark, tell me if you think this question is ludicrous, because I did pose this to Willie and Derek yesterday when we were talking about your team's win against Kentucky over the weekend. Of course, the win against Alabama was momentous, but I felt like the win against Kentucky was not that far off in terms of importance, because of it proved that your program has staying power. You were the talk of the football world last week after taking down Alabama. You did a lot of interviews. Diego Pavia did a lot of interviews. There was a lot of attention on your program because of what you did against Alabama, and you played another solid game against Kentucky, again, proving that your program did not win a fluke game against the Crimson Tide. Do you feel like I'm off base here by thinking that the Kentucky game holds just as much importance as the Alabama win?
Well, I'm going to give you a really good coach's response. And
sure.
Just say they all count one, and that makes them all important. But honestly, I think it's like, yeah, we kind of feel like each week is a prove it week. I mean, it's just, there's just not a moment where you ever feel like you've arrived. And it's, I don't know, it's probably part of the really healthy aspect of kind of being on a team that goes through these season long journeys, but also one that just doesn't allow you to maybe always get the big picture perspective. You know, we just reset so quickly. But I was certainly proud of the focus the team had in the week. I think for those that don't actually get to be in the building, it's easy to assume that we would somehow be distracted. And I get that. But the truth is, you know, we expected to win against Alabama. We delivered. We celebrated it. You know, we understood kind of the magnitude of the moment and the marker it serves as to what this program can accomplish. But there was no part of that Sunday or Tuesday practice in the Kentucky week that felt like there were lingering, you know, celebrations. And we were focused and dialed in. I thought we played to strategy on Saturday. The game kind of played out how we thought it would. Was really proud of the focus of the team. I think especially in a chippy and emotional environment, one of the things that really made that a challenging game, not only was it on the road, not only was it night in a tough environment, but Kentucky was coming off a bye week, and they had obviously a big win against Ole Miss on the road and had every reason to be ready to play that game, and they were. So there's a lot for us to learn from that and to take, but it's all about how you apply it forward. No different than Alabama. It's like, what's the meaning of the Kentucky game? How do we leverage it? How do we amplify it? How do we grow from it? And how quickly can we shift our attention to Ball State, which is what we've already done.
Clark, one thing that has helped your team win its past two games is you've significantly cut down on penalties, just 3 penalties against Alabama and 5 against Kentucky. What's gone into making your team more disciplined over these past couple of weeks?
I think that the team's maturing. You know, a lot of times, you know, they believe in their skill. They believe in their effort too. I mean, I think we understand internally that we have a good, skilled, tough team. That doesn't mean we're the most skilled, but we're a good team. And sometimes when you have too much confidence in that area, sometimes you think you can play the game how you want to play it, and you can get away with it. And obviously we've been taught that lesson a few times, both with respect to the focus we need in our process and the detail we need in our process to be detailed in the way we play on Saturday. And then also in playing a clean game, you know, because playing a clean game is about playing through our strategy. And we used the post-Missouri bye to to really spend time on what this needs to look like for us to get over the hump and get the breakthrough that we were so close to at Missouri but fell short, you know. And a lot of that had to, you know, we were, I think, six times three and out, not including the kneel outs there that got us to overtime. We were, you know, we too many yards and penalties, some breakdowns defensively that were costly. So, you know, just spending the time, like, teaching the team and showing them, you know, where this has really hurt us, and then making it a point of emphasis at the position level, because I think that those echo chambers are the most important. That's where the message really gets home, is when they're surrounded by those messages at the position level, it makes it more effective. And we just got aligned on it. And not to say that, you know, that's, you know, we might have a sloppy game ahead of us at some point. This team is focused. They understand the importance of it. And, you know, they're going to be attentive to those details. Certainly we train it, but they'll be attentive to it on Saturday as well.
We talk with Clark Lee, Vanderbilt's head football coach, coming off a victory versus Kentucky 20-13. Now, Coach, first, how is Miles Capers? He's one of your leaders on that defense, has 25 tackles, a sack and a half, and a pressure. But how is he this week?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you asking. That was a scary moment. And, credit to our medical staff and the University of Kentucky's medical team, too, that, you know, they took every precaution. When you're dealing with a neck injury, you want to make sure that you're not leaving anything to chance. I knew on the field that he had all the feeling in his extremities. He was doing okay. He was emotional and scared because, you know, he basically experienced whiplash and essentially has a neck sprain in the moment on the field, you know, it was scary, you know, but I sensed that they were being cautious, and all the measures they took were to make sure that if there were anything that could be damaged further, that they weren't going to allow the process to get him evaluated do that. So the credit to them, and again, a first class operation. They were efficient in how they got him looked at and got the pictures taken. I appreciated the way they grabbed his family and allowed them to participate, because obviously that's so important in those moments for peace of mind for his parents. And he was back on the sideline with us at the end of the game, which is awesome. So he's doing well. He didn't practice today. I think that it's not out of the question that he could be back practicing in the next couple of days, and that he could be suited up and ready to play for us on Saturday. And so hopeful for that, but, you know, obviously just glad to have him around and that it wasn't something more significant.
Now, does it say about your defense that now they're starting to figure it out? Obviously, Kentucky had a bye the week before playing you guys, and you still managed to hold this team to 13 points, and it was a struggle for them moving the ball down the field. Was it so much of, you know, how they tried to play the game, or is your defense starting to figure things out and starting to grow?
Well, anytime you have point limitation defensively, I think the first thing you got to credit is your offense for maintaining possession of the ball and limiting the opponent opportunities. That was a short game. It felt a little bit like an NFL game, because both teams were kind of playing to that strategy. I felt like, as far as Kentucky's approach, obviously they did a really nice job of scouting, both self-scouting. So some of the things that we had seen as tendencies, you know, didn't carry over. But also I thought, particularly in the run game, they found ways to kind of get space. And really their whole objective is, you know, to stay ahead of the chains and be in, a third and fourth down and goes. So I thought they were able to do that to a point. We were patient enough to lead to all schedule snaps and build the stops. It felt like, ultimately I thought early on, maybe they had the physical edge on us. But I think once we settled into the game, I think we started to play to our identity as well. So to answer your question, I feel like we got, their best shot. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to make sure is that we weren't giving up the big post that they run so effectively. I thought we did a nice job of kind of taking those throws away. You know, I think our group is maturing. I think we are getting better. I think they're learning how to play the game together with communication and detail and alignment and execution. And winning defense comes down to the margins, comes down to the inches, comes down to the landmarks and the vision points and all those things, the leverages. And the further and the deeper we understand those things about our scheme, the more we can anticipate and actually use the clues the offense give us each snap to get to our technique faster than the opponent. And that's when defense becomes really fun. When you see guys taking the right angles, breaking ahead of the ball, and you know, again, generating stops, generating turnovers, and flying around having fun. So we're on our way. I think this will be an important week for us because there's still elements, there's still snaps from Saturday that not everyone's on the same page. And, you know, that it didn't cost us like it could have cost us against Kentucky, but it will cost us if we don't get that fixed. That's been our focus this week, and we're looking to play a really clean game on Saturday.
Clark Lea is with us, and Clark, I know you saw Hal Gill and Lindsey Riley last week. You'll be happy to know that Hal was dialed in, and his phone was a little bit ahead of my feed. I was sitting in the back with Vanderbilt graduate Max Hurst, but I heard Hal from a row ahead of me going, throw it, there, so I could tell he was and he was like 3 seconds ahead of me. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. What's going on? So we were very dialed in on the bus and the plane watching the end of the game. You'll be happy to know. But I want to ask you about a couple of guys on your team. First, kicker is so important. You watched Vanderbilt before you ever attended Vanderbilt. You played there. And you know as the Vanderbilt kicker, there's going to be a lot of games where big kicks have to be made. And I've been really interested to watch Brock Taylor because he's hit some huge kicks like he did on Saturday. But I'm most impressed with he's missed a couple. And like a closer in baseball, if you blow a save, you've got to come back and make the next kick. He has really bounced back well, and he deserves the accolades he's getting here.
Well, let me go back to Hal Gill for a second because I think that's actually more important. This will be off the call, Willie, but I just need to know how much was he yelling at me. You know, I want to know how much he was texting me.
I think the play I was thinking he was imploring Diego Pavia to get rid of the ball, but I was, as I pointed out, after I figured out, I was like, they're trying to run the clock here. You don't throw the ball away. The clock stops. Come on, Hal, you're a high school quarterback here.
You know, what's funny about that, Willie, too, is that Diego came to me right before that snap. We spend a ton of time on situational football. We teach it. We train it. We practice it every week, just some one-off situations that is meant to try to create, you know, a smart team, smart teams win is what we say. And also it helps me because in all these situations, that's the chess match actually. And it becomes the fun part, but also really challenging in the moment to try to process all the things that may or may not happen. And right before that snap, I want to say, I forget the sequence. Maybe we had taken a timeout. I can't remember specifics, but we were on the sideline. And right before he ran out, he came up to me and said, "Coach, if I get pressure, I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to take a sack." And I just said to him, "Hey, listen, that's great. Just minimize the amount of yards lost because, what you don't want to do is end up with a huge chunk loss. And now you're trying to flip the field with your punt." Well, it was a rollout and there was nowhere else he'd go. So I think we lost 11, 15 yards on that snap, which is unfortunate, but what he did, keeping the clock running, was huge because the other thing that happened coming out of that play was they reset the clock at 3 minutes and started it ball ready to play. So, anytime you get to a closely contested game and those seconds tick away when you have the lead, those are huge plays. It was a smart moment. Again, I think to do it over again, you know, if we could vertically escape and minimize that loss, that would be great. Obviously, it worked out in our favor, so no harm, no foul. With respect to Brock, I think this is a I think in the spectrum of a kicker's career, there's no elite kicker in the world that hasn't made some and missed some. And I think when your sample size is so small, it's really easy, you know, that pendulum swings really quick, I think, externally, you know. So it's like, you know, is he elite? Is he, you know, does he not make the important kick when he needs to make it? I think what you're seeing is just the growth of a young player who's learning to find consistency, but that we believe in, and he believes in himself. And sometimes I can remember playing as a kid playing sports, and I would try so hard, and things would get, Derek doesn't relate to this at all. And Willie, you probably don't either, because this is just me and Adam. You know, we have guys
don't do yourself the disservice by comparing your athletic prowess to my lack of athletic prowess. Don't sell yourself short.
I'd never seen you out on the court or on the field, so I didn't want to make assumptions. But, one of the things about my youngest kid, baby Jack, is like, he doesn't care. He just wants to go play, and he doesn't think about it. He doesn't let it bother him. If he makes a shot, if he misses a shot, he takes the next shot. And that is the healthiest approach you can have as a competitor. And that's what kind of defines Brock too. It's like, you know, I mean, most of us would let those misses just eat away at us, but it's not that he's not bothered by it. He just knows that it's important that he lets it go. And I think the biggest thing that he knows is that our team has his back. We support him. We believe in him, and he's our kicker. So the thing that we can do is put him out to kick the next one. And what we know is he's going to be mentally ready and physically ready to put it through. And he's done that the last 2 weeks in big ways. And I think, again, you got to credit him with our success too. I'm really proud of him.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee joining us as he does every Tuesday. Clark, thanks so much for chatting. We'll talk next week. Good luck against Ball State this weekend.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Yep.
Vanderbilt hosts Ball State at First Bank Stadium this weekend, Saturday at 6 o'clock. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donk, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.